Second term that's really crucial is the term happiness. You will see from Book 1 and all the way through Book 10 of Aristotle's Ethics that he constantly returns to happiness. The Greek word for it, eudaimonia, refers to having a good spirit. And he envisions this happiness as not just a state of good cheer, but he envisions it as something that is very much involved with a life of activity. He envisions it as something that will not only be an abiding state of consciousness, but something that will well forth into lots of activities that we undertake with one another in community, with our families in the privacy of our home, and sometimes even simply in our own kinds of work and our own kinds of thinking. But he insists that happiness will be a matter of an activity and not just a state. And he will try to take note of some of the other material conditions that happiness requires. Having a long life and a healthy one, having a certain level of material comfort, being free from sickness. But among the various material conditions that are some of the necessary background ingredients and some of the necessary concomitants of happiness, he wants to identify happiness itself as an end. And when he starts talking about an end, he's distinguishing an end from a means to an end. He's concerned with what it is that we desire as a means to something else, and what is it that we desire for itself and for no other purpose. Happiness, he thinks, is the goal or the purpose that we desire for its own sake, and many other things that might enter into this person's happiness or that person's happiness will be desired as a means to that end. Third point, even while we're considering a term like end or end in itself, Aristotle also likes to use the term mean. And he refers not just to a means to an end, but he will also refer to the term mean in the sense of the golden mean. And this is perhaps the most important of his technical terms that I need to introduce today. Aristotle's ethics will focus on the notion of virtue or human excellence as the mean between the extremes, the point or peak of excellence between excess and deficiency. He, for example, will describe courage as that kind of virtue in which we are seeking to face something that is really dangerous. But when we're seeking to face the danger and we're feeling a little bit of fear in us or maybe feeling a little bravado, he thinks of courage as the peak of excellence between feeling too much fear and being paralyzed and feeling too little fear and being reckless. The golden mean is this point of excellence. It's not just an average. It's not just what's mediocre. It's not just what's in between. It is rather that sense of the stellar point of where real human excellence is. It may not be exactly the same for everybody because some dangers must be met here and other dangers met a little bit more fearfully because they're much more powerful, and other dangers yet we can meet a little more boldly. So exactly what constitutes the courageous act will require a knowledge of the circumstances and a knowledge of our own strengths and weaknesses. But the nature of the virtue, whatever the particular circumstances, and whatever the circumstances internal to the agent, the nature of virtue is that it is this peak of excellence in between the extremes of excess and deficiency. In doing all this, Aristotle recurrently uses a biologist's model. That is, the biologist that Aristotle was so intensely all his life, the biologist is intent upon looking over the long range of a species development, looking over the long range of how an organism comes to prosper. And so he will look at the fact that these virtues don't come in us simply by nature. A given person might have a temperament that's more courageous. Another person might have a temperament that's a little bit more fearful. But the virtue isn't merely how we happen to be by our nature. Rather, virtues are a matter of how we develop the powers and the potentialities within us. They're very much a matter of choosing to act in a certain way so that we will recurrently come to a particular danger or a particular set of inclinations. We'll come with strength of character. We'll come with the disposition that has been fashioned by action after action after repeated action until eventually we come to have a habit. And the habit, in the best sense of the word, that we will have will allow us easily and regularly and even with a certain pleasure to approach that situation from the confidence that comes from knowing that we're doing the right thing and that we have our internal strengths and our internal resources to meet this. For Aristotle, this is the project of ethics. It's not just a project of knowing, but it's a project of accustoming ourselves to feeling the right thing at the right time, with the right people, in the right circumstances. It's a project that's enormously assisted by knowledge, and that's why he writes a book on it, and why we are inclined to read it. And yet it's a project that, for him, is almost wasted on the young, that sometimes the young are so impetuous, so filled with passion, so filled with excitement, and having so little experience, that they're unable to reflect. But that with age, and with this habit of reflection, he thinks that we can bring our knowledge to great good use and decide upon a course for our life that will bring us very much to the prospect of happiness, precisely because we have considered what it is that makes for human excellence. Thank you for your attention.